Welcome to the Profit with Purpose show. I'm your host, Anna Goldstein, NYU certified coach, entrepreneur, and author. This is an informative and uplifting podcast where I dive deep into lives of entrepreneurs and change makers who are making money through living their life's purpose. The Profit with Purpose podcast is produced every week on Thursdays. Please subscribe to be the first to get updates about new episodes. All links and show notes are found at annagoldstein.com/podcast. Now let's get started. Listen up with an open heart and mind. In this episode, we have Scott Nelson.
You know, coming into this conversation with just a little bit more desire to just understand that light plays an important role in our health. Everything from, you know, helping to balance our circadian rhythm to helping our cells produce more energy, you know, which leads to all these different benefits. So I'd say first and foremost, just, you know, the easiest thing is just to become a little bit more aware that light plays an important role and that it would do all of us a little bit more good to kind of step out in the natural sunlight during, you know, each and every day.
Welcome back to episode number 116 with Scott Nelson. Scott is a medtech enthusiast, ambitious doer, and curious by nature. Scott is the co-founder of Juve, the first professional-grade full-body red light therapy device designed for convenient in-home use. Endorsed by doctors, athletes, health professionals, and many more, Juve light therapy stimulates our cells and boosts our cellular energy. In addition to enhancing skin health and muscle recovery, clinical research has shown light therapy can improve the body's ability to lose weight. There are numerous clinical studies that provide how red and near-infrared light therapy is effective, including physical and emotional health and well-being. In this episode, we talk about the extraordinary benefits of red light therapy, how our body responds to different light in different ways, and that our ancestors were not surrounded by artificial light and spent most of the time outside, and how that's affecting us. Scott, it's so great to have you on the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Anna. Really looking forward to the conversation.
I have been doing so much research this morning on red light therapy, and it's fascinating. Wow. So I can't wait to ask you just like a bunch of questions that I have. I first want to start with the benefits, because I've been reading so much about the benefits of red light therapy, and not a lot of people know about it. Can you start with sharing some of the benefits of red light therapy?
Sure. And I don't want this to sound like a, you know, a late night QVC commercial, because it may come across as that. But the benefits are very wide ranging. So everything from enhanced skin health, right? And there's a bunch of things that kind of fall under that bucket. So reduction of wrinkles, enhanced collagen production, et cetera. So skin health, muscle recovery, enhancing peak athletic performance, improved cognitive function, increased sexual performance. All of those benefits, they come with light therapy, red and near-infrared light therapy, and they're all clinically proven. They're supported by peer-reviewed published literature. In fact, there's over 200 double-blind placebo-controlled studies that support these types of benefits. So they're really, really wide-ranging.
Yeah, one of the things that was fascinating to me was how much research, there's so much research that has been done about red light therapy, yet I feel like not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah, and it's a subspecialty of medicine. And so, you know, as part of our scientific advisory board here at Juve, we've got, you know, academics, PhDs from, you know, Harvard Medical School, other academic researchers that are not only doing the research but publishing it in peer-reviewed journals. So it's definitely, you know, it's technically a, you know, like I said, a subspecialty of medicine. But to your point, the field has been around for, you know, since probably the mid 20th century. But it's still very much an emerging arena, though, for sure.
So, I mean, we've all had the experience where, like, we walk outside and, you know, we can feel better being in the sun. What's the easiest way that people can use red light therapy?
Well, I would say, you know, the easiest and least expensive way to get more light therapy is just to get more natural sunlight. You know, and most of us think, you know, have grown up over the past, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, have sort of come up under the guise that sunlight can be bad and you gotta put on a bunch of sunblock before you go out in the sunlight. But the reality is, like, the full spectrum sun is actually very healthy, not in a way that we typically use it, where, you know, we spend our lives almost entirely inside, and then on a Saturday afternoon go get fried and on the beach. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you, you know, it's a very healthy thing to get to spend a little time in under the sun each and every day. And there's certainly a lot of science to support that. So that would be the first step, I'd say, is, you know, be more cognizant about getting natural light and, mm-hmm. and just light in general. What kind of light are you exposed to, especially at night? You know, there's more and more research being published around the negative ramifications of blue light at night and how that disrupts your circadian rhythm. And so just kind of, you know, coming into this conversation with just a little bit more desire to just understand that light plays an important role in our health. Everything from, you know, helping to balance our circadian rhythm to helping our cells produce more energy, you know, which leads to all these different benefits. So I'd say first and foremost, just, you know, the easiest thing is just to become a little bit more aware that light plays an important role and that it would do all of us a little bit more good to kind of step out in the natural sunlight during, you know, each and every day. But I, aside from that, I think, you know, once you, if you've taken that first step and kind of, begin to understand that light is pretty crucial. It is, most of us, you know, have schedules and jobs that don't allow us to get a lot of natural sunlight during the day. Or, you know, during you know, we're recording this in almost December of 2018 here. Like, we're approaching the winter months, and, you know, the days are shorter. We don't, it's hard to get a lot of sun. And in fact, there's a pretty decent data point that suggests Americans spend 93% of their time indoors under artificial light. And that's a pretty alarming stat. But when you think about it, I mean, I fell into this boat too, you know, before Juve. I probably actually, the percentage is probably higher from my perspective, you know, living in Minneapolis. I got ready for work, you know, under artificial light in the morning, commuted to work, spent, you know, 9-10 hours in an office all day, and then by the time I got home, the sun had already set. So I was like, I was probably more closer to 100% of my time, you know, away, you know, under artificial light indoors, away from natural sunlight. And so it's just hard. It's challenging in our busy schedules here and kind of in America and kind of, you know, the Western world. And so if you kind of, one, understand that light plays an important role, two, and then two, kind of understand that it's hard to get, you know, good healthy wavelengths of light, the third step would be, you know, looking at maybe a light therapy device to kind of supplement your diet, so to speak.
Yeah. The research that I was doing, when you look at those charts, they have that rainbow spectrum. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
of course you do. So, you know, where blue is on one end of the spectrum and then red is on the other spectrum. And then in between there's blue, green, yellow, orange, red. Right?
Sure. Yep.
So there's, you know, we spend so much time in front of computers. We spend so much time in front of our cell phones and, you know, this blue light, so to speak, how is that harming us?
Yeah. So those different wavelengths of light, those are in the visible light spectrum. Of course, there's an invisible spectrum of light too, you know, which includes infrared light as an example. So the visible spectrum you referenced, those different our body responds to those different colors, and which is, you know, when you, that sounds kind of maybe at first blush a little bit kind of goofy, but if you kind of think about our ancestors and sort of the way our great grandparents lived and you know, even beyond that, you know, 100 years ago, they didn't have artificial light, right? They spent most of their time outside, and their sources of light were natural sunlight and then maybe candles. Really, since the mid 20th century, with the advent of LEDs, that technology has advanced so much that we're exposed to artificial light almost all the time, and so our biological systems can't adapt that fast, right, to that, the overexposure of artificial light. And so I think, like, from a high level, I think it's, you know, kind of understanding that core principle that yes, our bodies did have adapted to sort of the natural sunrise and sunset, and light does play a role in helping to balance our circadian rhythm, as evidenced by, you know, there's a group of PhDs in 2017 that won the Nobel Peace Prize for their understanding of how light received through the retina does impact our circadian rhythm. And so light, like different colors of light are definitely important. And if you kind of understand sort of like at a baseline, kind of the sunrise and sunset. So blue light in the morning tends to be great for helping to rebalance our circadian rhythm. Red and near infrared light is actually present throughout the day. And then, you know, you've got UV light at its peak during kind of the middle part of the day. And then again, during the sunset, you've got, you know, a heavy dose of red and near infrared light again. And so blue light can be good in the mornings. Red and near infrared light can be healthy really during any parts of the day, but especially in the morning and in the evening, because the natural sun, there's a lot of red and near infrared light concentrations in the sunrise and sunset. So, those different colors that you mentioned, they're present in, you know, in full spectrum sunlight, but the time of the day, in which our bodies are exposed to those make a difference. But then when the sunset goes down and exposing, you know, our bodies, especially our eyes, to excessive blue light at night can be disruptive to our circadian rhythm. Our bodies think it's like, you know, it's noontime, you know, when we're on our iPhones, you know, at 9 o'clock at night. And so by disrupting your circadian rhythm, that definitely has an impact on sleep. And that's, you know, there's actually over the past few years, there's actually a lot of published studies that are now supporting that. In fact, you see big manufacturers like Apple, right, that now have a nighttime, or at the, I can't remember what the mm-hmm. mode that they put on their phones, right, where you can, you know, you can change the, you can change sort of the, or help prevent, you know, excess blue light in the evenings.
I watched your video on your website, Juve, that plants shrivel up and die when separated from the sun. Mm-hmm. And we're living in a culture where I want to talk about some emotional health, right, where a lot of people struggle with depression or anxiety or even confusion. How do you think red light therapy can influence clarity in, you know, from an emotional perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, it's interesting that you even bring that up. I had a lengthy conversation with a writer that does a lot of our educational content on our team about this very same topic yesterday. We were going back and forth about when most people think of light therapy. You know, if they're familiar with it at all, they think of the happy lights, right? The bright mm-hmm. lights that are seasonal affective disorder or SAD. And there's definitely clinical evidence that supports bright light for SAD or for that disorder. But there's also, you know, a fair amount of clinical evidence that suggests red and near infrared light, in addition to all those benefits that we mentioned earlier, is very beneficial for preventing depression and preventing depression-like symptoms. And so these wavelengths of light, it's not only been proven, right, that they help some of those depression-like symptoms, but like anecdotally, if you were to scroll through our, you know, the 500, I think nearly 500 reviews that we've got on our site, you'll see that come up again and again. People are like, it just makes me feel better. I feel so much better. It boosts my mood. I feel like it's similar to the beach, you know, going on vacation to a beach. In fact, we've got a practitioner in Salt Lake that has kind of our, multiple full body systems, red light therapy systems. And I think a lot of his clients refer to it as the Miami room, because it makes them feel like they're, you know, they took a vacation to the, you know, a warmer climate, especially during this time of year. And so, yeah, these wavelengths of light, not only supported by science, but, you know, anecdotally and sort of qualitatively, they do definitely help people, you know, feel better, feel more relaxed. There's mental clarity, that kind of cognitive function and mental clarity that comes along with, you know, receiving these healthy wavelengths of light.
So I want to talk a little bit about getting to the cells. Mm-hmm. So, and health. So I know very little bit about this, but I'm going to try here. So, you know, one of the things that I know is that I know that our cells have a communication within them, right? So our cells mm-hmm. are constantly communicating with one another. Is that right?
Sure. Yep. You got it.
And we want to improve that cellular communication for greater health, right? The better cellular communication, the more health and vibrancy we have. Is that right?
You got it.
Okay, yep. Cool. I'm doing good. all right. So, you know, when we, let's say, have an injury or we have trauma, right, there can be a breakdown in that cellular communication. But it seems like, from what I've read, that red light therapy can generate new cells. Can it also improve communication between cells?
It can. In fact, there's probably light therapy in general. There's some well understood mechanisms of action in terms of like kind of how it works. And then there's also some emerging mechanisms that seem to be happening, but is not totally understood by academic researchers. And when it comes to kind of the well understood mechanisms, there's like some primary things at play, and then there's like some secondary things at play. And so primarily at a high level, these wavelengths of light, you know, red and near infrared light, they help your cells produce more ATP, specifically the mitochondria in your cells. And I think if you know, most people that are listening, if they're, they haven't spent much time in the world of biology recently, they could probably remember that term, you know, from middle school or high school is mitochondria. That's like, these are the powerhouses, the engines of our cells. And these wavelengths of light help the mitochondria produce more ATP or adenosine triphosphate, or otherwise known as energy. Sometimes it's called the energy currency of life. And because of that sort of that primary core mechanism of action of helping our mitochondria produce more energy, that's why you get such a wide list of benefits, because we have cells throughout our entire body, right? From muscle tissue to blood vessels to superficial skin tissue, et cetera. And everything has cells, and these wavelengths of light help your cells produce more energy. But sort of a byproduct of that, you know, in addition to that, I should say, is intracellular communication is definitely improved with these wavelengths of light. You brought up, like, you know, how our bodies respond to an injury, right? Mm-hmm. There can be a healthy response where, you know, if I accidentally cut my finger, you know, making dinner, right? My body should respond in a healthy way by sending certain cells to that injured tissue to help repair, right? But sometimes cellular communication can break down because of a wide variety of issues, and that's what leads a lot of times to chronic diseases. It's when our cells aren't functioning. In fact, there's kind of an emerging specialty called like mitochondrial dysfunction, and people studying mitochondrial dysfunction, because these mitochondria are like this. It's like they're the cornerstone of, you know, basic cellular function. You know, if your mitochondria aren't functioning properly and they're not communicating with other cells, that can lead to a whole host of negative consequences. The cool thing about light therapy is that it does help your mitochondria. Mitochondrial function. It helps improve that drastically. You know, like I said before, that's kind of why you see all of these wide, you know, these kind of such a wide range of benefits, is because of that kind of that core mechanism of action of helping your cells produce more energy. And then a byproduct of that being is they communicate better.
I know this is true for myself, that I could always use more energy. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, that we could always use more energy.
Yeah, you got it. There's no doubt.
And what about blood flow? How does that help in terms of energy? Like, because I know that red light therapy can increase blood circulation. How does that help you?
Sure. And the reason for that is, you know, I'll take a minute to go a little bit deeper in terms of the mechanism. But sometimes when our bodies and our cells are under stress, right? Whether it's from work related stress, or whether it's from exercise induced stress, or whatever it may be, our cells can produce excess nitric oxide. Nitric oxide can be a very good molecule, but in just like almost anything, if we produce too much, it can have its downsides as well. And when our cells are stressed out and they produce too much nitric oxide, that molecule can actually bind to another one in our cells called cytochrome C oxidase. So those two molecules can bind together. And that's an undesired effect. So what red and near infrared light therapy does, it actually breaks that unwanted bond and then releases nitric oxide into our circulation, which helps, you know, it helps enhance vasodilation. And that's why a lot of people, when they, you know, especially it seems like more males than females, but that's why a lot of people report sort of a pump, if you will, when they use red light therapy. And a lot of people can even see it in their veins. You know, when they use it, they can see actually the vasodilation happening, you know, when that nitric oxide is released into the circulatory system. And so, yeah, it can definitely help improve circulation.
So I want to get into your product and your story a little bit, but first I want to ask you about your product, because someone listening to this might be like, okay, you know, how do I do this? What's the product that I need? I know that you have different sizes. Can we talk a little bit about the one that goes on the desk, the smallest one?
Yeah. So there's, before we talk specifically about our products, if you're kind of to the point where you're thinking, okay, this is interesting. I know I don't get enough natural sunlight. It makes me feel good. So maybe I should invest in a supplement, just like you would a multivitamin, right? Maybe you should invest in sort of a light supplement, if you will. And I'm using air quotes when I say light supplement, but, so if you're kind of to that point, there's a couple things that you want to look out for when it comes to investing in a product. One is that the device needs to deliver clinically proven wavelengths of light. you know, those wavelengths that we mentioned earlier, they're really, you know, so they're broad, everything from blue to yellow to purple to red to near infrared to far infrared, et cetera. It's kind of, sometimes it can be confusing, but what you want, the wavelengths that are supported by the most clinical studies fall into what's called the therapeutic window or the optical window. And that's actually a range of light between 600 and 900 nanometers. And so you want to look for a device that delivers, you know, wavelengths of light in that range. So that's probably the first step. The second step is, comes down to treatment times. And so you want a device that delivers enough power so your treatment times can be short. Because ideally you don't want to be using a product for hours and hours per day to get a clinically relevant dose of energy. And so you want something that, you know, can go from 0 to 60 relatively quick. And so power, which is often in the form of, measured in the form of irradiance. That's what you want to look for, is a device that delivers, you know, high power. We're not talking about watts here, not consumed wattage. You know, that's what most of us are familiar with when it comes to thinking about power and electronic devices. I'm talking actually about power output for the purposes of light therapy. So you want a device that delivers a high enough power output. And then lastly, it comes down to treatment area. You know, what are you trying to treat on your body? Do you want to do a full body treatment, or do you just want to treat your face, or maybe a knee that's sore, et cetera. We fundamentally believe as a company that everyone should use full body light therapy. I mean, these wavelengths of light is kind of, we chatted about already. These wavelengths of light are beneficial for every single cell in your body. So why not treat your whole body instead of just a small targeted area. And so those three things, it's wavelengths of light, power output, and then treatment size. Those are the kind of the key things to keep in mind when you're doing some comparison shopping, if you will. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. And so based on those kind of three buckets, we designed our devices kind of around those three, making sure that we're delivering clinically proven wavelengths. So our devices deliver either red or near infrared or both at the same time. We've optimized around power output. So actually with our devices, because of the kind of the medical grade sort of laser-like power, you can get a clinically effective dose in about 10 minutes. And so it's really easy to use. I mean, everyone can make room for 10 minutes in their day. And then lastly is treatment size. So we, our products are unique in the sense that they're modular. So kind of similar to Lego blocks, you can start with like one, you know, smaller device that you kind of mentioned a few minutes ago. And then over time you can connect multiple devices together to build out a full body system. So if you're like, this is cool, I'm interested, I want to start with a small one, you can start there. And then if you like it and you like the benefits and you want to, you know, make an additional investment, you can kind of build onto your system like Lego blocks and ultimately get to a point where you can treat your entire body in one, you know, in one session.
So you don't like just have it on all day.
No. Now, having said that, the way I like to describe this is like, there's using it like for therapeutic purposes, right? That's where you kind of want to pay attention to like how, you know, the dose, the energy dose, the treatment times, et cetera. So there's like a therapeutic way to do this, but there's also, you know, a lot of people use our devices just to illuminate their rooms or houses mm-hmm. at night, knowing that blue light, any type of bright white or blue light at night is disruptive to your circadian rhythm. They'll use our devices to actually just an illumination device. In fact, that's probably the thing that I noticed the most personally, is that when my wife and I use our device in our room at night just to illuminate our master bedroom, like it puts me to sleep. You know, it there's definitely a dramatic sense of like sleepiness that comes over when we turn it on. So there's a couple different ways to do it, but you know, for the purposes of like therapeutic reasons, you really only need about 10 minutes with a device like ours.
Okay. So you could even do like, it could be like a quick facial.
Yeah, you got it. Well, and even if, you know, if you've got a desk, you know, with that smaller unit, we call it the Juve Mini, it comes with like a tabletop stand. So if you're, you know, if you're working, you know, and you want to get in a little light therapy session, you can just prop it up and, you know, turn it on and, you know, leave it going for 10 to 15 minutes, you know, so that's a decent way to use it as well.
Scott, I'm curious about your story. How did this all start?
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar to you know how kind of most you know most startups and small businesses kind of have their you know have their origin story. But my sister-in-law Melissa, she had this was we're now in our business and company is now based in Southern California, but this is when we were in Minneapolis at the time. But my sister-in-law Melissa, she's into all kinds of natural health. You know, always looking for different things to try and all different modalities and therapies that could be beneficial. And so she actually bought a red light therapy package at a local salon, or spa, I should say, in Minneapolis. I can't remember how many sessions she bought, but over the course of 8 to 10 weeks or so, she saw some really good benefits, especially related to her skin. So reduction in eczema, especially in some age spots. But as you know, anyone can imagine going to a spa on any sort of consistent basis, you know, especially in this case, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, can be really onerous. Like it's just hard to do on a consistent basis. And then it gets super expensive, right? To continuously buy those types of packages from a facility. And so anyway, she kind of tasked her engineer husband, Justin, with trying to build some sort of system that she could use at home. You know, she liked the benefits, wanted the rest of the, you know, the family and the kids to use it at home. And so Justin, you know, put it on his back burner, but Melissa persisted and he eventually kind of started building out some different contraptions, which kind of served as our first prototypes. And I was in the medical, I spent most of my career in the medical device space. And so this kind of turned into, hey, these are some of the contraptions that Justin's built. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I'm super skeptical about it, but like, this is kind of interesting. I'm going to dig into the science. And so I started pouring through, you know, clinical data and studies and trying to figure out, you know, what are the keys to this thing called light therapy? You know, it's technically, you know, called photobiomodulation in the world of academia. And so Justin started building out some prototypes. I started digging into the clinical data and trying to figure out like what are the keys to making this work? And are there any other options on the market today, you know, that can, you know, where we don't have to like, you know, we didn't intend to build a business around it. And sure enough, like we figured out that those three buckets that I mentioned were, you know, the kind of the keys to making light therapy work, you know, wavelengths, power output and size. But what we found is, you know, doing, you know, searches on Amazon and Google is like most light therapy devices. In fact, that's still kind of the case today. Are very small. So they're, you know, they can only treat a small portion of your body, you know, like an ankle, a knee, maybe a small aspect of your face. And then the other problem is they're really underpowered. So in order to actually get a clinically relevant dose of, you know, of red and near infrared light, you have to use it for, you know, 45, 50, 60 minutes plus, you know, per day to get, you know, the results that you're looking for. And no, most people just aren't going to do that, you know, so they're going to give up. And so we saw what appeared to be some pretty big gaps in the market. We were like, well, you know, let's see what we can come up with, you know, and that's what sort of started our path, you know, on this journey. And sure enough, you know, we ended up launching our first device in February of 2016 and things, it's kind of been a whirlwind ever since.
How'd you come up with the name?
It's short. It's a kind of a play on rejuvenate. Because okay. You know, that's what these wavelengths of light sort of are doing at a cellular level is, you know, helping our cells rejuvenate. And so it was a play on that. And then we also wanted to come up with a .com that was relatively short and kind of catchy. And so Juve, although some people kind of call it Juvie and, you know, sometimes misspell it, it's actually Juve and it's short for rejuvenate. But yeah, it was kind of a spitballing a bunch of different ideas and we kind of landed on that one.
That's cute. That's cute. I like it. Rejuvenate. Juve. So how has it been building your business? What have been some of your best strategies?
Yeah. So I've spent all my career in the medical device space, primarily in commercialization roles. And I'm a big believer in trying to find product market fit as early as possible. You know, you can of course do a lot of, you know, voice of customer. There's obviously other different aspects of research, but ultimately you've got to see, you know, whether or not your gadget, you know, your gizmo resonates with, you know, with a certain audience. And so I'm a big believer in that. And so we actually, my sister is an esthetician and runs her own boutique medical spa. And so we kind of used her and her sort of her audience, her clients as sort of a little bit of a testing ground. And ultimately, you know, it comes down to like, you know, we're an e-commerce business, you know, we manufacture these devices, but we're an e-commerce business. So, you know, we threw up a, I threw up a store, an e-commerce store, and you know, the ultimate test was, will strangers that have no idea who we are, will they buy a $500-$600 product from us? And sure enough, you know, the first month we had a few sales, and then the next month we had a few more sales, and then by the end of 2016, it kind of looked like an actual business, you know. And then heading into early 2017, it really never stopped. And so, but kind of going back to our early days, yeah, I'm a big believer in product market fit and trying to get your product in the hands of would-be customers as soon as possible.
I really think, and this is going to play on some words here, that you've really caught a wave. Because I think that, you know, just from doing my own research also, it's so underutilized right now. And it's a really extraordinary way for, I mean, there's so many things, even hair growth, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. I'm curious, I'm asking a personal question here in terms of skin. So I have a 3.5-year-old son, and after giving birth to him, I have some stretch lines on my belly. Have you heard of some recovery from using red light therapy?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And in fact, that's probably one of the biggest, we kind of bucket our customers in three ways. One is, you know, skin health. The other one is what we call physical performance, which is kind of like testosterone production, muscle recovery, athletic training, et cetera. And then the third one would be pain and inflammation reduction. Those are kind of the three core buckets. But skin health is across the board. Like it sort of spans all of those buckets, because someone may be getting one of our devices to enhance muscle recovery, right? They're super into fitness, and they want to, like, you know, they're looking for another edge. But they'll say, hey, by the way, though, I bought this device for muscle, you know, to enhance my training, but my skin's looking so much better. I'm getting all these compliments on how much, you know, how much fuller my skin looks, the glow, et cetera. And so, yeah, without a doubt. In fact, one of our biggest partners, Katie, who runs wellnessmama.com. That's one of the big benefits that she noticed a couple years ago when she started incorporating red light therapy, is, like, you know, significant reductions in her C-section scars as well. And so, yeah, it's without a doubt, it helps with, helps across the board with skin health.
Yeah. So I'm also interested in, like, one of my goals and one of the reasons why I had you on, Scott, is because I'm really interested in how do we perform at our best level, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think that you know, our health is so important to mental clarity and making better decisions. And if we make better decisions, we're going to have a better result in our life. When it comes to performance, I'm a former athlete myself. You know, I'm really interested in, you know, how does something like your product help us, let's say, as entrepreneurs or even in our careers or just being moms or dads or, you know, people, how can it help enhance performance? Do we need to have, like, something that we're working on specifically, or is it just like a general?
Yeah, no, I mean, with me personally, I'm not trying to treat something specific, right? I don't have I played baseball in college, but I don't have, like, a bum arm or something that's bothered me for some time. I primarily use light therapy just for proactive of health. But to answer your question, I think, you know, it kind of goes back to our earlier discussion of viewing light, you know, putting a little bit more emphasis on the importance of light and how our bodies metabolize light. You know, all of us it's pretty well understood that if you're into health or into performance, you know, there's things like, you know, your diet, right? And whatever diet you have, you know, making sure that, you know, that's optimized. You want to make sure that your sleep is optimized. If you're going to supplement with anything, you know, you're supplementing with the right kind of things. Meditation and journaling is kind of becoming a lot more popular for overall sort of performance. But one thing that's doesn't get a lot of attention is this very topic, is light, you know, and the importance of light. So in the evenings when the sun sets, making sure that you try to prevent, you know, your exposure to blue light as much as possible, knowing that that's going to disrupt your circadian rhythm and it's going to prevent you from sleeping well. In the morning, trying to reset your circadian rhythm and get a, you know, get some sort of natural light, if at all possible. You know, if you live in a climate or if you have a busy schedule or your job prevents you from getting more natural light, understanding that it does play a huge role in our health, and, you know, supplementing sort of your lifestyle with a light therapy, you know, high quality light therapy device. And so, because of the massive role that light plays in our health, I think we just need to pay more attention to it.
I want to ask you about cancer cells. And has red light therapy shown any evidence for helping cancer?
Yeah, that's obviously a hot button question. You know, it's kind of it's a semi-loaded one as well. We actually had the opportunity to co-author a published paper on light therapy in cancer with Dr. Michael Hamlin. It was published in early 2018, I think, if my memory serves me right. But at a high level, yeah, your answer to answer that question is yes, it does appear. It's the clinical research is pretty early, but it does appear. And I think to use Dr. Hamlin's words, it's pretty tantalizing, the evidence for light therapy's role in not only treating cancer, but also preventing it as well. But there's also, you know, to be fair, there's also some studies that showcase targeted light therapy over a tumor can actually enhance tumor growth, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're helping those cells sort of theoretically function, function better. So you can actually see, you know, tumor growth. So I want to be fair there. So there is some, you know, some conflicting research, but I think if you take a step back, you're going to be hard pressed to enroll patients in an oncology study, that are just using, light therapy to treat cancer. You know, it's such a touchy subject, you know, mm-hmm. You're just going to be hard pressed to ever find definitive guidance, and definitive evidence around this very topic. But there are certainly studies that do support light therapy for the use, for the treatment of cancer. And I think, you know, if you kind of understand how crucial role that light plays in our lives and how red and near infrared light can actually enhance cellular function, and actually support better immune function, which is proven, that's a good thing, especially if you're getting these wavelengths of light, for your entire body.
Yeah, I mean, when I was doing research, it had me thinking about how much our environment affects us, which mm-hmm. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that, but I started to think about, like, wow, like, I do feel different in different environments and how I can cultivate a better environment in my home.
Yep. There's no doubt that in environments affect our health, our performance, et cetera. And I would add to that, like, kind of harkening back to the start of our conversation, like paying attention to the light in your environment, you know, especially during certain parts of the day. You know, like I'm right now I'm sitting in front of like super bright white, you know, monitors, computer monitors. But once the sun starts to set here in California, I don't necessarily want to be, you know, in front of bright computers like this, because it completely disrupts my circadian rhythm. And you know, the byproduct of that is cellular dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And so I don't like, you know, this kind of segues into your earlier question about cancer, but I personally believe that you know, most of the research around, you know, cancer being a genomic issue is, you know, it's I don't know if that's gotten us very far, you know, in terms of treating the cancer epidemic. And in fact, I would argue that it's more of a mitochondrial issue, more so than genomic. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of what happens with that. But, you know, it's very clear that, you know, these wavelengths of light, red and near infrared light, help induce healthy mitochondrial function. You know, and so, you know, I think tying that into sort of environment, like, yeah, just really being cognizant and paying attention to, you know, light almost as a macronutrient, right? Most of us are aware of, you know, consuming different proteins and carbohydrates and how that, you know, the effect of that on our diet, but we need to kind of view light in the same way, and that our bodies metabolize these different wavelengths of light in various ways during different times of the day.
What's the best advice you've ever been given?
That's so hard to nail down. I mean, the thing that comes, I mean, since we've kind of talked a little bit about business recently in this conversation, I mean, within a business context, I really like, and this is somewhat cliche, but, you know, the concept of, you know, of ready, fire, aim. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of more of a startup kind of guy. I like kind of, you know, going from zero to one. And I think, even though I would probably say I tend to be a little bit more of a perfectionist, but understanding within the confines or context of business, you know, nothing is perfect. Momentum is better than, you know, in most cases, momentum is better than most. And so that principle of kind of ready, fire, aim is, you know, kind of resonates pretty well with me.
Are you surprised you're doing this work in the world?
Yeah, totally. I mean, my background is like conservative, pure play med tech, you know, so more specifically, most before Juve, I was with Medtronic, and then before that Covidien, and these are like the largest medical device companies in the world. I thought probably that was where I was probably going to be, throughout the kind of the rest of my professional career anyway. But I've always personally been biased towards startups. I've always kind of dabbled in a bunch of different things throughout my career, kind of side hustles, if you will. So doing that within the light therapy space, no, I never would have imagined this, but it's kind of cool to be a part of, though, for sure.
Yeah, very cool. So tell us how we can get your product.
Yeah, so the easiest way is just to go to our website, joovv.com. That's joovv.com. You can if you go to the shop page, you can see the various configurations that we have. It kind of walks you through sort of choosing the best Juve device for you and what your goals are. But if you're new to light therapy, I would suggest going to one of two places. One would be, if you're kind of more into the science, you want to read a little bit more, go to the Learn section on our site. There's a whole host of different educational articles that are all sourced by scientific publications. I would certainly stop there. We've also got a lot of videos that correspond to those pieces. So if you're more of a video, you like to consume that kind of information via video, we've got that there. So I would definitely go there. Or if you're kind of more of like a reviews person, like what are other people saying about this? Go to the reviews section on our site and you'll see, I think, close to 500 different reviews. We publish all of them, even if they're, the negative reviews. So you can see what people have to say in their own, in their own words about what light therapy's done in their lives. So those are probably the two areas that I check out the most.
So awesome. I loved having this conversation, Scott. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to have it.
And that's the show. If you like this podcast, please write a review and share it with your friends. Questions, email me at info@annagoldstein.com. Thanks so much and talk to you soon.